Well, that worship was good, wasn't it? The presence of the Lord is here. You know, when we call on Him, He comes. That may be foreign to you. That may be new to you. But I want you to know that the presence of God is powerful, and it's real. And you may be someone that says, look, I've never done church. I've never really been a part of it, but I know you feel something. And it's not the musicians. It's not the cool stuff that we do. It is the presence of the Lord drawing you, confirming in you your purpose, your plan. We have a vision that we've just rolled out over the last month. And let me just go over that. It's to be a loving family that seeks to be transformed by the good news of Jesus Christ, reaching our community through genuine relationships as we share the hope that we have found in Jesus. I want you to know what you're feeling this morning is that good news, that there is hope, that there is something else, that when you've come to the end of your road, there is more. You may have been living your life where there isn't more. And I want you to know, if you're living it outside of Jesus Christ, there isn't. It does come to an end. Eventually, you get to the end of your rope. But praise God, He has thrown the rope to you. He has sent His Son. Father God has sent His Son to die on a cross for you. You may say, I don't know that, God. Well, that's why we're here, is to present to you some good news. I've got good news. Let me just share this real quick. Okay. Those of you that don't feel that, just forgive me real quick. There's some significance. That's 11 straight years. I've been pastor for 11 years. I started to think maybe the curse was on me. But finally, yeah, first half did not look good. How many of you have gone through your life and the first half hasn't looked good? Nothing can go right. Every time you throw the ball, they drop it. Every time Tennessee got some momentum, they drop the ball. The problem here with our walk is we drop the ball. If we just won't drop the ball, we will win. God is a God of victory. I've read to the end. We win. Somebody read to the end. Spoiler alert, we win. Stop quitting. Don't quit. Amen. Come on. Can I also say, my life's happiness is not based on whether or not UT wins or not. I want you to know that was a real breakthrough in my life. That may sound so dumb, but there are things that just do not matter that much. And even though that does matter, we kind of like it, it really doesn't. Am I still carrying the ball that Christ has given me to carry? He's given me a path of victory. He's given you a path of victory. If you don't know the Lord, He has led you here today to give you the ball. No one else, someone else doesn't carry it for you. You carry it. You score. You win. You have victory. You have breakthrough. You have great things ahead. We have vision here. We are going somewhere. As we unpack this vision, it's going to be through worshiping. It's going to be through equipping. It's going to be through relating. And it's going to be through reaching. We genuinely are a family here. If you've been coming here long at all, that's one thing that you know about us. We get to know each other. We love on each other. We really do know each other. I would hope that even with you, maybe you've just been coming a few weeks. There you are, Miss Sharon. I hunted through the whole sanctuary for you, and I couldn't find you. I saw you for just a second, and then I just dropped everything looking for you, and I couldn't find you. So sorry to call you out, but bless you. I'm so glad you're here. I want to hug you before you leave. So, sorry. Side note, we're family. Amen? We're family. So as we're unpacking this vision, I felt like Pastor Justin and I just sat down as we were looking over this vision of where do we go from here. And I really want to just get back to basics, basics of your walk. You know, if we complicate things too much, we quit. We get frustrated. We don't push. How many of you have come to a point maybe in math and you just can't get it and you just want to give up? You come to a point in your marriage. Thank you, Jonathan. In your marriage, math, not marriage, in your math, in your merit, in your whatever. You come to a point in your life, and when there's confusion, you want to turn back in. And I want you to know God is not a God of confusion. If your life is spiraling out of control because you're confused, you're off target just a little bit. And we're here as a church to help you get back on target. Simply. It is a simple gospel. Christ's word for us, Christ's spirit, Christ's body is a simple thing for us to do. Now, I'm not saying it's easy. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes life's decisions and things you walk through are hard. But they're simple. We can do them. We can do them. Let's look. We're going to go real to the basics today of walking with Christ. Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. Now, I just want to say right away, this is a scripture that you know. You may have come in here and you may not know this, and this is going to be revelation to you. But if you know this, don't tune this out. Listen to what the Lord is saying. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question him again. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with the question, "Teacher, what is the most commandment in the law of Moses?" Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind. And this is the first and greatest commandment. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophet are based on these two commandments." This is Jesus giving the cliff notes of the law. He's getting questioned. He's even trying to be trapped. And the Lord is replying with, "Here it is. Can I simplify it for you? Love God and love each other." Now, we all know that, but walking it is another thing. I am going to attempt in 30 minutes to try to get us on that path. That's very hard. That's very hard to just have a 30-minute blurb to change your life. But I want you to know, if you will hear the voice of the Lord, if you will hear the Spirit of God, He will turn your life. It can happen right here this morning. Learning to love. And it's easy to look at this scripture. And when it says to love God, if you go to scripture and say, okay, how do I love God? One of the scriptures that I always go to, it says, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey me." So immediately I feel like I personally put the pressure back on me to obey God. If I'm really going to show God I love him, I've got to obey him. But I think that the heart of God is just the reverse. I don't believe that it is a stronghold. If you'll just obey me, then I'll do everything that I've called you to do. That's not the way a good father reacts. So, and I will tell you, I'm preaching to the choir because I am one that likes to try to do everything myself. Just let me handle it all. Let me jump through the hoops. Well, let me tell you, the law was given so that I could recognize I can't do it. If I would recognize I can't do it, then I would look for help. And the only help for me to be able to fulfill the law is through Christ. He is the only one that fulfilled it. He's the only one that could fulfill it. And it is only with Him can I have success. That's what He was trying to show us. Even though in my best efforts of trying to obey God, I fall short. But I believe that God's heart is just the reverse. If we will really, now hear me, church. Here we get into the relating. If we will really get to know Him, church, really get to know Him, spend time with Him, live under the same roof as Him, learn from Him, receive from Him, have my life experiences with Him, what will happen is I will buy into Him. He will prove Himself faithful. He will show me how much He loves me, and I will receive it genuinely, and I will change. I will change, and in turn, I'll obey. Not out of obedience, out of me loving Him, loving His ways, and following them. Because I'm following them, am I obeying them? Yes, but it's not a you obey. It's going to sound a little bit harsh to my mom here, but I feel like I grew up in a household that required me to obey. And I don't think that's wrong. I think parents need to teach children to obey. But so many times, if things get a little bit squirrely in my brain, I turn that obedience into rebellion. I do that. I did that, not them. They're spirit-filled, loved the Lord, had me in church, prayed over me, warred for me. But I still got my wires crossed. The same thing will happen with you with walking with God, trying to obey. If you don't watch it, you can't do it. It is out of His love that I'm able to obey Him. It's out of His overwhelming love and His desire, His way, and me trusting His way that I, in turn, start doing what He's called me to do. I can't do it on my own power. I've tried. And it's not out of force. It's not out of effort. It's not out of strain. But it's out of love and out of a relationship. We in the natural are drawn to the surfacey, external, selfishly rewarding things. Did you hear me? We are drawn to the surfacey, external, selfishly rewarding things. For instance, back in 1988, I had an opportunity for a date. And a friend of mine was asking me, hey, who are you going to take to homecoming? I don't know. What do you think about this person? I don't know. What do you think about that person? I don't know. What do you think about Elizabeth Brown? Oh, she's hot. That was the words that came out of my mouth. I don't remember much, but I remember that. I was attracted to the physical. I was attracted to her. Did I know her? Not at all. I hadn't even spoken to her. I knew her sister. She was a year older than me. We crossed paths a few times. I did not know her at all. I knew her physically. Well, I didn't really know her physically, not yet. Are we real or are we not? So what I'm saying is sometimes we come to God out of the attraction of the surfacey things that we need. We need breakthrough. We need healing. We need restoration. We've got broken marriages. We've got stuff and we just need. And, you know, we've tried pills. We've tried support groups. We've tried groups at work. We've tried everything. We've tried just staying in the bed. And they don't work. So finally, okay, I've got nothing else to try. It's like the prodigal sitting in the corn fields, eating on those chewed up corn stalks, corn husks, that whatever they're called, that the pigs were eating and saying, I'd eat better at home. I'll eat better at home. And people come just because of the surfacey, because of their need. That's not wrong. God's placed that in us to draw us to Him. If we will see that there is something better, the law was given to show us we couldn't do it. Are you with me? That there is a better way. It's a completely normal to be attracted to God. What He has to offer, a better way. Hope, life, freedom from chains, addiction, sin, destruction, devastation. But I want you to know, eventually the external wears off. If all you do is stick to that external thing that you need, it's going to wear off. I had to develop more with my wife in order to have a great marriage. So what did I do? Spent time with her. We spent time together. And I'll tell you, that first year of marriage, let me tell you, it's challenging. Hearing her thoughts, her desires, the things she didn't like, her seeing the things I liked and didn't like, and my issues. I've got them. I got more than I would want to share. But we started getting to know each other and developing a relationship. I started to learn her personality, her convictions, her sense of humor. She has a sense of humor. She does. It's really funny. Imagine that. That's kind of redundant. She has a temper. Who here doesn't have a temper? If you say you don't, you're lying. You do. God has one. He does. But I started to see her heart, and she got to know mine just by spending time with her. Can I ask the men, you get to know your wife when you spend time with her, don't you? Thank you. Some things you want to know, some things you don't. Have you ever walked into a conversation thinking, oh man, I wished I'd never asked that question. I wished I didn't know that one. But spending time. In marriage, a lot of change has to take place. Living under the same roof requires drastic change in both of us. But we committed to each other to make it work. Coming under the Lord's roof requires change. Take, for instance, my children. My children have to, when they come under my roof, they have to come under my authority and our rules. It just doesn't work any other way. Now, they're about to get to an age where they can start getting out from the house. I've got two that are college students that if they chose to leave, they could and go do things their own way, go under their own authority. You know, as an 18-year-old, I couldn't wait for that. After the new wore off, I didn't like it so much. It's not all that it's cracked up to be. But you know, the prodigal son thought that it was better outside the fold. And you know what God did? God said, go. It's okay. I'm not going to hang on to you. You can go. If you think God is a control freak, he's not at all. He's full of mercy and grace. And he's full of letting you go and taking you back. He's full of letting you go in the direction you think is right. And when you choose to come back, his arms are wide open, ready for you. How good of a father is that? Every time, no matter how many times we abuse him, you know, when he went to the cross, he knew how many times we'd abuse him. And he still went. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows the end from the beginning. But when we return, we come under that authority or it doesn't work. When you really come under authority, good authority, it's not controlling. It's comforting. It's protected. It supplies provision. It gives love. It gives support. But it requires effort on my part. Now, don't fall asleep of what I'm talking about this morning. We're talking about loving God. You can't go into any relationship perfect because you're not perfect. Relationship requires a lot of things. And let me rephrase. A good relationship requires a lot of things. Number one. A good relationship requires time. You have to give time in order to deepen and to cultivate. Quantity time and quality time. Something I still just love so much in our family time is dinner. When our table's full and our table's getting fuller, we're having to cook more. My wife's having to cook more. We get cows and we get pigs. And we buy 8 gallons of milk a week. I'm not kidding. 8 gallons. 4 2%, 2 skim, 2 chocolate. How do I know that? Because I do it every week. We have mouths, so I mean they're little birds just waiting. Feed me, feed me, feed me. And you know, if you feed them, they'll sit there still. And they will actually put their phones down. They don't want to. I fight with them. But feed me, feed me. Put your phone down. Okay, feed me, feed me. But the funniest things happens around our dinner table. And we've introduced a couple new people to our dinner table. And it's taken a week or two for ours to loosen up and really be themselves. But now they're themselves in front of our guests. And it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. And I'm one of them. I do it. But it's not riding through the back seat getting McDonald's and driving through the car with the radio turned up all the way and shoving food in your mouth. There's a difference sitting down and looking at each other. One thing that we're doing, trying to unroll our vision, is we're having Wednesday night meals. We're giving up service in order to eat together and to look at each other and to relate to one another and to give you a chance to say what's on your heart. What you're going through, to have a dinner table time together. And by the way, this Wednesday we're having breakfast. It's so good. And we're going to be having Carl's special French toast. It's so good. You should come. And if you kind of feel like connecting with people here at the church, it's a good way to not have to have a separate night out. Do it on Wednesday night. Eat together. $3. Can't beat it. If you got somebody at work that can't afford it, invite them. Bring in families that are hurting. We're not going to pass an offering plate. We're not going to throw the Bible at them. We're just going to love on them and feed them. There is no hook. The Who has come on Wednesday night. There's no hook, is there? We just eat. People bring their favorite desserts. Man, it's so good, isn't it? It's so good. And we've got a small group that meets 30 minutes beforehand so that if you're looking for a little bit of breaking bread and breaking the word, having the word together and fellowship, it's growing like crazy too. I think we're already about to have to split it. So come to this mealtime. But it takes time for us to sit down at the dinner table and just say, what went on today? You know, if you sit there long enough, you can tell if somebody's hurting. You can tell. But it takes time to get through that shell. It takes time. I get to hear my four kids, boyfriends, girlfriends, my wife, and I all share. Hey, here's some of the things that we encountered. Another way that that when our family gets together, I've got a couple kids that like to wrestle. And one of them's a girl. And it gets pretty rough. And my son is at the age where he could beat me. He just doesn't think he can. So I use that to all my leverage, mind skills. Yeah. But some of them do not react the same way. But again, we have to spend time together. It takes time for me to build relationship. If I wrestle my other two girls, they'll run and be mad and yell. And they'll get mom on board. And that does not go well. So I don't wrestle those two. I wrestle the other two. I love with my wife $5 cafe at the cafeteria at Tennessee Tech. $5. I love that. Get to make my own ice cream. I need to show you a video of her ice cream and my ice cream. It's funny. But we sit down together. As little as that sounds, walking to there, holding hands, sitting down together, eating together. I eat so bad. I usually run so crazy, and I eat French fries and fried food and ice cream. That's my splurge that one day a week. I'm looking forward to that. But we must sit down together. Church, you must spend time with the Lord. You will never get to know Him if you don't spend time with Him. You must spend time with the Lord. The second thing a good relationship requires is communication to thrive. Just the basics. Clear communication. It is the key to my wife and my relationship. And I want you to know sometimes we go through rough patches. Whether it's the busyness of our schedules, whether it's the hecticness of our jobs or things that are happening, when we break communication, we break in relationship. What happens is when we break communication, distance is created between us. And we have to make sure that we're communicating. Otherwise, we go through long periods of time. And I don't know about you men, but my wife has this built-in love tank that if I'm not communicating and filling it, we struggle. We struggle. When it starts to get on empty, I want you to know that my wife has a check engine light that goes on. And it's not until that tank can get filled that it goes over, turns off. I have to make sure that we're communicating. With God, it's the same way. Do you know that your walk with the Lord is reciprocal? He requires action on your part. It's not one way, go pull a trigger and you just get what you need and then you go back to what you're doing. No. He desires relationship. He desires you. What he's saying is if you'll just love God, in loving God and building relationship with God, he'll fill you up so much that you can love your neighbor. He'll fill you up so much that when you stand having to make a decision about sin or not sin, it'll be in you. He'll be with you to encourage you and say, I know that this feels like you want to go this way, but it's not. Go ahead and go this way over here. I'm with you. But without that time and communication, you get off on that cliff and you don't know any better and you just walk off. Because you're basing it on your mind and your experiences and your relationship that has nothing filled, you're not filled up. There has to be a two-way street. Being in His Word to meditate and read and discover what He has to say to us. We go to Him in prayer. Instead of just a bag of complaints and a shopping list, we actually can supplicate. That's kind of a churchy word, but we can confess and to appeal and render our hearts, share with God what's really going on. I've had some conversations with people since we've been doing Wednesday night that are finally starting to share what's going on in their life. I want you to know it's working. When we can trust one another and just open up, because if you keep your problem in the dark, you'll keep it. It's until you get light on it, you have a chance to get rid of it. You don't know there's dust in the corner until the light gets shined on it. You start shining light on it, you'll clean it up. Every relationship requires knowledge and understanding. I'm almost done. I mean, that's true, isn't it? Knowledge isn't the all end to loving God, but I can tell you in 24 years of marriage, I love my wife now way more than I did when we first got married. And our marriage looks different now. We've been married 24 years, and our marriage does not look the same that it did 10 years ago or 20 years ago. It's not as flashy. Sometimes there's not even as much fire at times, but I can honestly tell you that my love for her is much deeper. The fire that we have is so much stronger. It's just different. It's different. But as I get to know her, do you know that she can tell the difference whether I know her or whether I'm surfacey with her? There's a difference. Do you know that you can sit there and listen to your wife and you can be a black hole and that information just go into nowhere? Have you ever talked to your spouse and they're listening to you and nodding, but there's nothing coming back? The Five Love Languages calls that a black hole. I hated that part of that book because that was me. I learned to get her talking, but it was just going nowhere. And she finally said, I need you to respond. I need interaction from you. I'm like, no, you don't. I just need to get you talking. No. Now that I know that, I'm infuriated. Oh, shoot, I've got to respond. You know what? In order for me to respond, I have to hear. I have to listen, and I have to understand. In order for me to respond and interact, I have to listen. I have to hear in order for me to interact. When we were friends, we were just learning each other's likes and dislikes. When we dated, it got even more. We started to know what each other was passionate about. I started to know what her fears were. And as I start mining this marriage and this relationship, there's a whole new foundation for us because I've gotten to see her in different seasons of my life and hers, raising kids, going back to school, changing jobs. Now we've got teenagers. Now we've got college students. We've had challenges and we've had great victories and we've had great failures. And we've gotten to know each other. But getting to know her, knowledge and understanding. And do you know that's basically what theology is? The knowledge of God, your knowledge, your growing, the study of God. And you know, there's not just one characteristic that defines Him. God's like a diamond. Every time you study Him and you get a little bit of a turn, there's a different facet to Him. There's something incredible about you getting into the Word of God and the Spirit of God, not just a 30-minute podcast or a sermon once a week. There's so much more. And if you will dig, you will find. God is not one of these where if you go digging for gold, you may not ever find it. God is when you start digging for Him, you find Him. He says that when you go looking for Him, you'll find Him. If you'll draw near to Him, He'll draw near to you. He will respond to you. It's all about your relationship with the Lord. And there's so much difference about you mining it rather than letting someone else mine those treasures. Learning to love. And then finally, I'm going to finish with this point. Every relationship needs holiness and obedience. This is going to sound a little bit different, but hang in there with me. We're almost done. especially in the South, we struggle so much with legalism and morality. But in a relational context, sin is not just a judicial concept. It is deeply personal. When I neglect my wife, when I fail to love her in the way that I've been commanded to, when I fail to walk in biblical health with my wife, it's not that I've just violated an infraction against her. It's that I've created distance with her. I've moved away from her. Not only have I done something wrong and there's this wedge, but that wedge creates space between us. The same thing happens with sin. God's going to forgive your sin, but if you're not in a relationship to repent and to turn, when that sin comes, you just get separated. And you just get separated. And you just get separated. And when my wife and I start to separate, it doesn't happen drastically where all of a sudden we're on two different continents. It happens by a fraction. So subtle that I don't know it. And then next thing you know, another fraction and another fraction and another fraction until we've got a huge divide between us and we didn't even see it coming. Due to a lack of time, due to a lack of communication, due to a lack of knowledge about each other, and due to a life of following the Lord in our responsibilities. I have a responsibility. Men, you have a responsibility. Women, you have a responsibility. What happens is we have broken fellowship. 1 John, the whole book is really themed about the idea that when we sin as a believer, it doesn't separate us by salvation. It separates us. It breaks the fellowship. I don't believe our salvation is necessarily challenged, and I don't want to go into this once saved, always saved. Why worry about that? Just repent. It's an argument that you shouldn't even have. If you're a follower of Christ and you sin, He's made a way for you. Go back to the cross, plead the blood of Jesus, turn and quit doing it, get back in the Word, get back in the Spirit, get back in the fellowship with the body, and get moving on again. Don't think you've fallen from grace and you're going to go to hell now. No, don't even question that. Turn around and go back. So as we're walking in holiness and we're walking in obedience to God's Word, and in my obedience to God's Word according to my marriage, when I falter, remedy it. When I mess up with her, go to her and work the thing back out. Go to the Lord and work it back out. Where there's a lack of time built into a relationship with God, there's distance. When there's a lack of communication, there's distance. When there's a lack of understanding, there's distance. When there's a lack of holiness and there's sin in our life, there's distance. There's so much to loving God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. But can I encourage you, just simplify things. I'm going to close with this statement, because I bet in this room, I believe that the number one reason why you fail to love God the way that He deserves is because you lack the understanding of how much He loves you. It's not based on your efforts. It's not based on your ability. It's not based on what set of the tracks you were born on. It's not based on your financial situation. It's not based on your past. I want you to know that it all has been taken care of for you. It's based, I believe, on your knowledge of how much God really loves you. He really loves you. Part of us as a family, just to come in on Wednesday nights and just sit at a table, is just to show you, I don't care what you've been through. I mean, I do. I want to talk to you about it. But it's not going to separate me and you from sitting down and having a meal together. And if you've got challenges, it's okay. We'll work them out. We'll work them out. But what I want to show you is that we're going to love you. You're going to find out real quick, I've got challenges on my side of the table too. There's going to be reasons for you to want to separate. How many of you in marriage has ever had a reason to want to pull back? It happens. But when that happens, am I going to draw near, or am I going to allow that distance to be widened? No, I've got a problem. And when I think she's upset with me, I can't hardly function. Just tell me what's wrong. What did I do? What did I do? I don't know. Yeah, you do. What is it? Well, I don't know. Yes, you do. What is it? And now we're fighting over just that. What did I do? And it usually is me. How many of you know between you and God, it's usually you?
It's usually you. It's usually not God.
But if you could grasp how much the Lord loves you, Jeremiah 31:11, 31:3, not that. Do I have Jeremiah? Hey, thank you. Long ago, the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. Church, God does not have a hook in it. He loves you just like you are. Just like you are. But it's time now for you to make a move in time, in communicating, in your knowledge of Him, and in your walk with Him. Make a move. Make a move. God's got breakthrough ready for you. He gave everything for you. For you. It sounds too good to be true. It does. He gave everything for me. He gave everything for you. This is a place where you can be you. Do you know that your relationship with the Lord is a place for you to be you? You don't have to play a game. And Church on the Hill, we're trying to have a place here that you can be you. You don't have to put on some facade. Don't do that. Let you be you. And let's let the Lord work in your life. Amen. God says, you know how much I love you? The sun isn't enough. The moon isn't enough. The air you breathe isn't enough. But that He loves you so much that He sent His Son. That He's given us an everlasting love. Will you all just bow your heads with me? I just want to pray over you.